Hey, welcome to Flash Speaks. I'm Phil Nations, also known as The Flash, also known as Philly Flash, also known as Fantasy Phil, and I am so excited to be bringing this show to you daily at the 405 Media, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. That's the405media.com. Google it, follow them on Twitter, support the shows there. Those folks work hard, just like our military does, and this is Memorial Day weekend, so we want to send out a big shout out to those serving today, both here and abroad. My goodness, what would we do and where would we be without you, without your sacrifice? You could be out there standing on a corner slinging dope or robbing folks or shooting up schools. Instead, you've chosen to make your world better by sacrificing, in some cases, your very life in order to make your life and those around you better. And my hat is off to you. My hat is off to all those who lost their lives in the service of our country, in the service, in military service of our country. You folks who are the survivors, I tell you, I can't thank you enough for your sacrifice and your service and your child's service or your relative or your friend or whoever. I can't thank you enough for that. The Flash says thank you. I am so grateful for our United States military. I met several of them when I lived in Greece. I spent 12 years there. Also met so many through Armed Forces Radio. And I must say, it is not an easy thing to be willing to sacrifice your life to make the lives of people you've never met better. Not to mention making your own life and those who you care about the most better by serving and then going on to college or trade school or doing whatever it is that you do. I'd also like to send out a big shout out to all you veterans out there, both here and abroad. Thank you too for your service. Thank you so much for putting up with the bullshit when you came back. You know, I know that our country doesn't treat you well when you return and when you're no longer in our service, but I want you to know that I am grateful to you too, and we're doing everything that we can to help homeless veterans through this show. In fact, I'm probably going to set up a GoFundMe account on Monday, and we're going to see how much we can raise and see if I can't get a few people off the streets. That's my goal, and I think that'll work. I hope it does anyway, but we have so much to talk about. The free Bovada play of the day. 16-8 in NBA basketball. 4-3 in baseball. Major League Baseball. Damn Royals. That is what it is. Sometimes you got to go for that underdog on the road. Wasn't very smart, I know. But I thought I saw something that I guess I didn't see. And that's what happens. But if you've been playing those picks every single day since I began, you're making cash with The Flash. And if you want to make more, well, let's do it. Contact me through the site flashspeaks.wordpress.com. Find me on Twitter, FlashTennis31. Come to PhilNasonShow.com. Comment. Hit me up. Use the contact form. And let's get a package set up for you. Coming in September, we'll be doing horse racing, both harness racing and thoroughbreds. We'll have college football, NFL football. Then, of course, we'll do college basketball and the NBA, probably hockey too. We're going to be busy making you cash, working our asses off to make you money. 12 hours a day I spend this. That's why I get these compliments from people. They say, man, you really are knowledgeable about sports. Yeah, I am, because I spend all day doing it 7 days a week. And believe me, it ain't easy to do this, but it's a labor of love, and I'm looking forward to making you money, and I hope that we do. And I must say, there's so much going on in the world today, but the big story this week, and now I'm not going to talk about that 30-year-old guy whose parents had to evict him. We're not going to talk about him. Nah, maybe we will. We don't need to talk about entitled kids and people who've been enabled to be entitled. We don't need that. You know, those are rich folks. Those are rich folks like that don't serve in the military unless they go through ROTC and it's a deal made. Nah, the military is made up mostly folks from less than fancy backgrounds. We need the military to survive. I wish I would have served. I was lucky I didn't have to. But I darn near did, and I would have. But no, we're going to talk about the NFL today. I think this is going to take the entire show. I might not even take a break from this because I feel so strongly about this. You know what? We have this issue over the last two seasons. Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL quarterback, because no one wants to hire him after he opted out of his contract with the San Francisco 49ers, who put up with his kneeling and all everything that came with it, the circus that came with it, the distractions that came with it, because they said, you know what, this kid might be onto something. He's probably right, and we're going to support him because he's our employee, and we're going to support this guy. He decided to opt out of a $16 million contract because he thought the pastures were greener, the grass was greener on the other side, and he found out the hard way, probably because he listened to people who don't know what the freak they're talking about, that you know what, when you cause distractions and then you say F you to the people who allowed you to do that, who granted you that opportunity to do that, then you know what, good luck finding another job that pays like that. Good luck. And you know, he did take a knee for, I can't say he didn't take a knee for righteous purposes, because in his mind they are, and I agree with him. He took a knee because he was tired of seeing young black men or black people in general abused by cops. Yes, people of color, he said. Racial oppression, he said. He also claimed that he was a victim of it too. Talked about white privilege, even though he was the epitome of white privilege. He may have had African-American parents, but the ones who raised him were white folks who chose him, who adopted him. But that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is, there's a serious freaking problem out there today. It's been for a long time, been for longer than I've been alive. Abuse of power is everywhere. It's not just in our city streets by our men in blue and women in blue. You'd be surprised who abuse us, who have power to do so. Clergy abuse us. Teachers can abuse us. Coaches can abuse us. The list goes on and on. Power sometimes corrupts people. And they do stupid shit. It just is what it is. Not much we can do about it, really. We can try to put a stop to it. I think that was Colin Kaepernick's intentions, to put a stop to it. But he didn't do it, did he? No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And that's a pity, because he can't do that. He can bring attention to it, but what attention did he actually bring to it? And I'm serious. I'm not trying to belittle him. I'm asking you a question. What type did he bring? What did he bring? What actually came of all this? And I'm serious. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm serious. What came of all this? Actually, not much. A player this past winter from the Milwaukee Bucks was tased by police. That's ridiculous. African-American kid, a well-known kid, perhaps. At least in that area, he should have been. His crime? Why, he went to the store very late in the evening, and he happened to be black. That happens too much today in America. That happens to Spanish people, Mexican people. It happens to white people, too. Not as often, but it happens. It shouldn't ever happen. It really shouldn't ever happen. But it does. And like I said, Colin Kaepernick tried, really tried, if you believe him, of course, tried to bring awareness to it. But, you know, you can bring awareness till you're blue in the face, but until someone actually rolls up their sleeves and attempts to get something done, nothing will ever get done. When you start expecting lawmakers to do something that is in the best interest of the people, rarely, if ever, do you win. Barack Obama was the president during that time. What did he do in those last 8 years? What did he do those 8 years? to help these abuses of power, to help curtail them. Probably not a whole lot, did he? I want to read you a paragraph from the Bureau of Justice. During 2012 to 2015, the rate of white-on-white violent crime, 12 points per 1,000, was about four times higher than black-on-white violent crime. The rate of black-on-black crime, 16.5 per 1,000, was more than five times higher than white-on-black violent crime, and 4.5 points higher than white-on-white crime. The rate of Hispanic-on-Hispanic crime was 8.3, and that was about double the rate of white-on-Hispanic crime. Basically, we kill our own races. We kill our own ethnic races. We're committing genocide on our own people. Isn't that the most asinine thing that you've ever seen? We don't have problems, like people want to admit, between white and black people. Not really. Black people have more problems with each other. At least if this can be believed. There's some violent people out there in this world. Black, white, green, and blue. All of them. Very violent. Ask Officer Amy Caprio from Baltimore County. Oh, wait, you can't ask her because she was run over by a 17-year-old African-American boy. 16-year-olds, in fact. Terrible news. His attorney says his client was in survival mode when he ran over the officer in a stolen Jeep. Yeah, he was in survival mode, all right. He was trying to get away. She was trying to stop him because, you know, that's her job, to apprehend criminals. And this kid is already a career criminal at age 16. And now he's up for murder of a cop. You can make all the excuses you want for him. End of the day is, he's a murderer, and his three buddies that were with him are all going to be charged with capital murder. That's four young people just thrown in the trash forever. Now, why is that? Why don't we talk about that? Now, I get the leaders wanting us all to bring this, make awareness of these police abuses, and we do. I do anyway, and I've got a long record of doing so, where it's actually cost me something, but I do it anyway. I grew up with black folks. I understand where they go through. Believe me, I've seen a lot. I remember going on a baseball trip down south when they still said whites only in the bathroom. We went to a restaurant at night after one of our games, and the only person they would serve was me. I walked out with my teammates. They're my dudes, man. Who the fuck is this guy? But that's how far I go back with this. I get it. I really do. I've seen a lot of abuse in my life. I've seen cops do some seriously abusive things to folks, both black and white. Back before my time, big cities like Boston, New York, Irish policemen used to beat up Italians. Same way. You know what it is? You just don't like something that's different than you. You put these kind of people in power, and this is what you get. It's not making an excuse. That's a fact. It's a horrific fact, but it's a fact. But there's real problems. This is a real problem, but you know what? I remember when I was a kid, I had to help my grandfather with the garden. Because, you know, I like bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches, and we grew lettuce and tomatoes. One day he asked me, I guess it was about seven, to help him weed the garden. We had a big freaking garden, believe me. It was huge. It was huge as a seven-year-old, as huge as a 53-year-old. That's how big it was. Freaking huge. Anyway, I had to help him. So I go to the little shed, and I grab the little hand clippers, and he looked at me, okay. And then I started clipping the weeds. And he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm clipping the weeds. He goes, no, you're not. You're only putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm. That's where I got that saying from him. So what do you mean? He said those weeds are going to grow back up next week, and you're going to do the same thing again, and nothing is going to change except you're going to get less lettuce, and you're going to get less tomatoes and green peppers and all the other things we had. Because those weeds, if you don't get them out at the root, if you don't get to the root of this problem, It's going to destroy this whole garden. It's going to become overrun. And then you're going to lose control of it. And if you believe me, he said, you don't want to lose control over this. He was right. It's the same way in our communities. We've allowed these weeds to grow up in our communities, and instead of getting to the root of these problems, we just put a Band-Aid over it. We try to cover it up, pretend it isn't there, and hope it goes away, and it just grew to the point where it's out of control now. We have once great cities and neighborhoods that have been destroyed by drugs and poverty because their plants closed and the people lost hope. Where were your powerful congressmen and senators and councilmen then? They're getting paid. They don't give a rat's ass about us. Where were those people? Those are the people that we paid and hired to make sure these things didn't happen, and they allowed them to happen. Many of them from the Democratic Party. These are just known facts. Yet you still elect these bozos. That's our biggest problem in America, is we have these people who we put in place and hire to do a job that they just don't do. And then they make excuses, and then they make more promises, and then they abuse us some more. They're like the husband who comes home drunk and beats his wife's ass. And then the next morning, he's so repentant and sorry and doesn't do it for a couple weeks. And the wife says, you know, well, give him a second chance. And then he comes in and he beats her again. And because she did it once and he gave, you know, maybe I did something wrong. And she gives him another chance and he kills her. We've been giving our politicians too many chances to kill us. At some point, they're going to succeed. And that's a fact. You have so many problems in the inner cities and in our communities that you don't want to address, but yet you want to talk about the police. Why do you think that they react the way that they do? Okay, maybe not all of them, but some of them. I'm going to tell you why. Because they're dealing with violent people every day. A lot of them happen to be black. It's just a fact. And as one black policeman told me a few weeks ago, and I've heard this from several others, black, white, and Mexican, it's a hell of a lot. I would rather be judged by 12 than be carried out by 6, meaning I'm not going to give that kid a chance to kill me or that person a chance to do me in. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of them are good people who just want to go home to their families. They don't want to get clipped by a 17-year-old career criminal who's been given more chances than that abusive husband. And guess what? That last chance turned out to be a bad one because that lady's dead. What are you going to do about that? What the fuck are you going to do about that? You're going to do nothing about that. You're going to elect the same people who put her in the ground, who refused to dig into that garden and get to the core issues, and now you got a problem. Now you got a real problem. It's huge, and it is not going away. We've had so many chances in America to clean up this race issue. Black people have been treated poorly by us, poorly by this country. So have a lot of immigrants, but black people especially. They were brought over to be slaves. They've been treated poorly. It took them a long time to be treated equally, and in a lot of cases, they still aren't. Why is that? Because our elected officials let us down. Many of them Democrats, like I said, many of them. Not all, but many. But you want to blame Donald Trump for all this. He's been the president less than 2 years. What about the guy before him? The guy that was supposed to be so in tune with all these needs. The great uniter turned out to be the great divider, because this country is more divided today than it's ever been. He had the best chance of any president to nip all this shit in the bud and he didn't do it. Did he? Go ahead. I want you to name three major accomplishments that President Barack Obama completed in the 8 years that he was hired to be the President of the United States. Hired by the American people, by the way. Go ahead. Three accomplishments. And one is not he was the first Black American president or Black president. Don't use that one. Because I think what you're going to, well, maybe you have to, because that might be the only one that you can come up with. There's a reason that they're taking away these things. There's a reason that our politicians are eliminating some of these things because they were harmful to our country. They were keeping folks down instead of building folks up. Now, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. No ways, no how, no sir, nothing. You know, I think there's a reason that it took him so long to get a gaming license in the state of Nevada. But he's the president of the United States, for better or worse. Now, for most of Barack Obama's tenure, I was not a resident of America. I was living in Greece. Still paying taxes here, though. When I came back to, I was stunned. I left in 2002 and came back in 2014, and I was stunned. Stunned at what I saw, the difference. The level of hatred that was there openly between people who may not have been that way 20 years before. You know, there was a time when we worked to get along, but now we don't do that anymore. Again, we've got politicians who sat on their asses and got fat and rich. Republican and Democrat, who we hired to make sure these problems didn't, or to at least come up with something to limit these problems. Here's what they did. They had a war on drugs that was so successful that so many Black people are now in prison. Their war on drugs was not successful. Just like a war on guns won't be successful. I can get a rocket launcher today if I showed up in Akron, Ohio. I can get anything I want in the streets of Akron, Ohio because I know people. I can go to the local McDonald's and get anything I want because I know people. It won't matter what you put out there. It won't matter what law you enact. It'll still be there. How about the golden rule? How about enacting that one? Treat others as you would want to be treated. That's my favorite rule of all time. It's too bad that more people don't feel that way. Or so it seems. It's too bad that we live in a world today where we have to actually pack heat to protect ourselves. It's too bad that we live in a world, a free world, by the way, where the color of our skin is the only crime that we've so-called crime we've committed that can get us executed. It's a pity that we've got 14-year-old kids running around who hate white people and they don't even know why. They just do. And who will kill you just as soon as look at you. We live in a society today where kids are bullied to the point, mostly white kids from the suburbs, are bullied to the point where they walk into schools and kill classmates. That's the country that we live in. Why is that the case? Why is that the case? Why? Because our politicians let us down. But here, I got a plan for you. And it's real simple. It's called Take Back Our Streets. One person at a time. In this country, we should not have one person that's homeless. We should have a plan in place for those people. We don't have that. But you know where we got to start now? We got to start all over from scratch. We got to start with our youth, young. And we got to teach them and rear them and protect them. When I was a kid, we knew everybody in our neighborhood and everybody knew us. We couldn't get away with stuff because we would get in trouble. Our neighborhood used to have these parties and everybody would get together and bring potlucks and share, black and white alike. And everybody got along. Okay, maybe they had a few beers and they argued over the New York Knicks or the Pistons or whoever. Or maybe they argued over who was better at the time, Johnny Bench or Pete Rose, who was more valuable to the Cincinnati Reds. So you didn't hear a lot of the stuff that is going on now. We should have evolved. We've taken a step back. It's time we take over our neighborhoods. It's time we stop worrying about these elected officials because they're not going to do it. They don't care to do that. And where do they start? We have to start mentoring these young people, demonstrating to them that we care about them. Kids want to be led and guided. I've been coaching them for 30 years, I know. I have never had to fight with any of them. Argue sometimes, but that's part of the coaching-player relationship. I still have a lot of them from 25 years ago calling me up on the phone asking me advice. They have kids of their own now, thanking me for all the things I taught them. You know, we have so many kids out there today who have no male guidance, young girls who have no female guidance. We need to step up, get into their lives and help them, guide them, mentor them, show them there's a better way than hating their neighbor. Teach them how to love their neighbor. It's easier said than done. Well, you got to start first before you can ever say that. All right, you know what? That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Flash Speaks. Don't forget the Bovada free play of the day. Don't forget to check out the blog every day. I'm updating daily and Monday through Friday. Until next week, thanks for listening to Flash Speaks.